For thousands of years, mystics, scholars, and ancient historians have spoken of a vast hidden world beneath the sands of Giza. More than 2,400 years ago, the Greek historian Herodotus recorded accounts from Egyptian priests describing underground passages beneath the plateau. Centuries later, Edgar Cayce, the so-called sleeping prophet, claimed that ancient records were sealed beneath the pyramids. Now, new satellite radar scans conducted by researchers from Italy and Scotland may have revealed something remarkable. Beneath the Khafre Pyramid, a team identified what they interpret as five newly detected chambers, linked to eight vast vertical shafts, discovered within an area spanning more than 6,500 feet beneath the Giza Plateau. Spiral formations observed in the data have been interpreted as possible internal ramps or winding stairways. They also detected two massive rectangular structures, each over 260 feet wide. Could this be a vast and previously unknown complex concealed beneath the surface? Could these findings point to the lost knowledge that Edgar Cayce and others described? To follow the deeper story and explore the evidence left out of mainstream history, we turn to Ancient Civilizations, a Gaia original series.
The hunt for some kind of hidden chamber beneath the plateau at Giza really went into extra drive, if you like, with the psychic readings of Edgar Cayce. Now, he is known as America's sleeping prophet. He was born in 1877, died in 1945. And essentially what he would do is he would give these readings that would help diagnose people's illnesses. And often these past lives took place in ancient Egypt. In 1933, he started talking about something called the Hall of Records. And what he said was that this was the repository of all of the knowledge and wisdom that had been brought from the lost continent of Atlantis by the survivors, the Atlantean survivors, been brought into Egypt and stored within this hidden chamber. And that this was located somewhere beneath the plateau at Giza. He thought it was accessed via an entrance somewhere in the region of the Great Sphinx.
When Edgar Cayce's foundation, the ARE, were exploring, it happened that they were actually doing the seismic exploration during a time that I was there with another group. And I had the opportunity to see, it was in that time, it was a relatively primitive form of seismic exploration. They took a very large man with a very large sledgehammer, and he literally pounded onto a steel plate that was on the surface of the desert, creating the shock waves that would go into the earth. And as they came back up, if they went through an empty space, they would travel faster. If they went through solid rock, they would travel slower. That was registered on a graph, and the graph clearly showed that there is a chamber where Edgar Cayce had predicted it would be found under the paws of the Sphinx. Where this gets really interesting is that the chamber appeared to have stuff in it. What is unknown is whether or not that stuff is the collapse of the ceiling into the chamber itself, or if the chamber, in fact, is intact and is full of artifacts from an ancient, highly advanced civilization that Cayce talked about in his readings.
We all have heard about the explanations of Edgar Cayce talking about the Hall of Records underground, the Sphinx. But we usually take the explanations of the visions that we all have very literally. But when we are talking about holes, it's not about a big hole like in our times or in Roman times. For the Atlantean civilization, it was about how to manage the information. It was not only about construction, it's also about being concrete. There are the holes and and the past of records, and those records are water. And all you have underground the Giza Plateau is water, which is the tool that they used to have the records.
Whatever might be below the Sphinx, is it possible the Foundation ARE has found a hidden chamber under the Sphinx? Or could this just be another entrance to what lies below the Giza Plateau, possibly even connecting back to a massive water system? Another mysterious possible entrance on the plateau is the Osiris Shaft.
The Greek historian Herodotus visited the Giza Plateau in around 450 BC. And he clearly spoke to the priests and the elders who were looking after the different tombs and the pyramids. And according to his story, he said that the builder of the Great Pyramid was Cheops, who we know today as Khufu. And what he said was that the pharaoh himself wasn't actually buried inside the pyramid, but that he was actually placed within a tomb that was located on an island deep beneath the plateau, and that around this island, water would flow in from the Nile to surround it. But what is so interesting about this account is that the place that he describes matches almost exactly the so-called Osiris Shaft. This is a very mysterious underground structure that's accessed from an entrance beneath the causeway linked to the second pyramid that's on three different levels. And at the bottom, the lowest level, is an island where water would come in from the Nile, and there is a tomb and a sarcophagus set down into that rocky island, and it matches exactly what Herodotus tells us.
If Herodotus was the first account of an underground labyrinth below the Giza Plateau, and his depiction of the tomb happens to exist, what else can be verified? In 1997, Greg Braden was allowed special access to the Osiris Shaft after a letter was provided by the President Hosni Mubarak.
And one of the first places that I was allowed to go was under the causeway between the Great Sphinx and the Middle Pyramid, into an area that at that time was only recently opened and was the subject of a lot of speculation, the tomb of Osiris. And it was said that this tomb was one of the passageways that led to this underground labyrinth. We were led to a locked iron gate. The gate was open, we went inside, and I had the opportunity to climb down through a series of ladders. For me, only down to the third level under the surface of the Giza Plateau. And it was at that level that the water table prevented us from going any further. Now, there is a sarcophagus that is there, and many people believe that that was the end of the tomb, and that sarcophagus underwater was holding the body of Osiris. But what our guides told us, that their grandfather had told them, was that that sarcophagus is a false sarcophagus. It doesn't hold the body. When you open the sarcophagus, it reveals the ladder that goes down into the deeper levels of this complex underneath Giza. Now, as a geologist, I find this really interesting, because when we talk about this complex, was it built before the pyramids and the Sphinx, or were the pyramids and the Sphinx built and then these tunnels were carved later? And if so, how would that be done? The geology of the Giza Plateau is primarily sedimentary. A lot of limestone and dolomite, these are sedimentary, relatively soft sedimentary deposits that are the result of a lot of water. And the water also can carve the tunnels in the chambers. And I believe this is what we're seeing, is a natural system of tunnels and chambers that nature has created that have been enhanced by humans in times of antiquity, in the past.
In July 1911, archaeologist George Reznor launched excavations and spoke about them to the press. He was very reputable and had been working on the Giza Plateau for years. He wanted to focus on and dig around the Sphinx. In March of the following year, 1912, he claimed to have discovered a hole in the Sphinx's head, a passage which he went through. He always communicated via the American press and used them to announce that the passages went much further away and may harbor treasure. March of the following year is when the story really takes off. In March 1913, several magazines covered Reznor's discoveries, explaining that he went much deeper into the Sphinx and discovered a millennia-old city buried underground and a solar temple that was at least 6,000 years old. This temple was said to have been linked to the Temple of Solomon. It was extraordinary, and many magazines spoke of his discoveries in 1913. It's interesting that Reznor spoke of an underground city beneath the Giza Plateau, of a buried solar temple, even of small pyramids.
Mankind has continued to be fascinated by the Great Pyramid in Egypt. How were people of the time able to create this massive structure? The Great Pyramid in the Giza Plateau is the oldest monument of its size. It was created to such perfection that modern technology cannot structurally replicate it, let alone envision its full potential. More than 150 years after the academic establishment of Egyptology, there still appears to be little agreement between scholars on the function of the Great Pyramid of Giza. Is it possible that a highly advanced civilization existed in prehistory? If so, is the Giza Pyramid a remnant of their technology?
The theory that the pyramids were tombs, that is obviously the academic position in terms of the analysis of them. And the evidence to support that theory, they don't really have that much evidence. In fact, most of the evidence that you find in the pyramids, the Great Pyramid specifically, argues against tomb theory.
There has never been, in all the three pyramids on the Giza Plateau, any bodies ever found in the sarcophagi. So no, they probably were not tombs.
The reason I don't think it's a tomb is because of how intricate it's designed. I mean, just look at it, for example. We know that it's made of granite, sandstone, and limestone, essentially operating like a Faraday cage. If we look at what granite is, which most of our pyramids on the planet share this component, granite is composed of something called silica. And from silica, we get silicon like you use in microchips. And this is a great insulator and conductor of electromagnetic energy, just like you'd see with quartz crystal, where you get piezoelectrical energy. Thus, when we see this structure and how it operates, what we have to ask ourselves, why would you take so much time and effort to put together something that has all these various components and chambers and ways of operating to just use it as a tomb? If you think about it, why would the highly advanced civilization capable of using such precise mathematical equations and precision build this for storing dead bodies?
Mainstream archaeologists estimate the age of the Great Pyramid in Giza to be approximately 4,500 years old. Others contend it's much older. When researchers look back at the Orion constellation and how it would have appeared to earthly observers over centuries past, the age of the Giza Pyramid appears to date back to around 10,500 BC, while other researchers suggest it's even older. Alternatively, others go as far to suggest that the pyramids were not built by the indigenous population of Egypt, but in fact predate the Egyptian culture, and more significantly, were built by a conglomerate of cooperative ET races. While the date and method of the pyramids' construction is highly disputed, it is generally agreed that there were more than 2.3 million limestone and granite blocks, ranging in weight from 2 to up to 30 tons each, quarried and transported from Aswan, more than 500 miles away. The largest of these stones are estimated to weigh as much as 50 to 80 tons, or approximately the combined weight of 80 average-sized cars.
In my opinion, it's clear that the structure and design of the Great Pyramid is not simply some kind of tomb like you may have in a cathedral or in a churchyard. It's there with a specific function in mind. It generates an energy which can be not only felt by whoever enters inside the structure, but can actually be detected using scientific instrumentation.
The reason for building the Great Pyramid remains an enigma. Due to their precise alignment with the stars, many researchers speculate the Great Pyramid may have been a type of portal to the cosmos. Others have speculated that the pyramid may have been used as an energy-generating technology for various purposes. Either way, what can be certain is that the builders possessed highly sophisticated knowledge of mathematics and geometry. They had knowledge of the true dimensions of the Earth to extreme precision, and they possessed exceptionally advanced technical instrumentation to site the Great Pyramid.
Within the Great Pyramid is extraordinary precision within its design and the engineering and the sheer finish of it. I mean, we're dealing with blocks made of granite, granite which is one of the hardest substances in the world to work. And you're talking about the precision cutting of this as much as 4,600 years ago. But then the placement of it to a level that's certainly below 1% of precision, and to such a degree that you're not even able to put a piece of paper between the different courses of the exterior facing blocks. So you have to ask yourself, why did they need such precision?
Today's buildings, if you're laying down a footing, a foundation for a building, you are required to hold the accuracy, flatness, within 20 thousandths per linear foot. If you take that over the acreage that the Great Pyramid, you have a base of 13 acres. And so using 20 thousandths of an inch per foot, you could be out 15 inches based on modern specs or modern requirements, whereas the actual variance of being a perfectly flat plane on the Great Pyramid, instead of being 15 inches, it's less than an inch, 7/8 of an inch. So they were working at a high degree of accuracy. So when you look at the builders that we have today or masonry work, you don't find that kind of accuracy. If you look at the interior design, the schematics of the Great Pyramid, to me, it looked more like the inner workings of a machine than a building or a tomb or a cathedral or anything like that. And taking the appearance and then discovering the precision of these inner chambers, it occurred to me that something that had the precision of a machine, that had the appearance of a machine, well, perhaps it was a machine.
If the pyramid is a machine, then for what possible purpose? What if, in the ancient past, someone wanted to build an instrument to generate light and energy? Light can be created if the machine can emit charged particles into the ionosphere. Like the aurora borealis, where electrons created by the sun collide with air molecules to create light. What would it take for the Great Pyramid to create a similar energetic emission? To accomplish that goal, high conductivity material at high frequency is required.
Limestone is a very conductive material for electricity. And when you look to the inner design of the pyramid, you'll find that the most important part of the pyramid, which is the so-called the King Chamber, is completely built from granite, rose granite from Aswan. And we understand that granite contains quartz on it. Especially that rose granite, it contains 13% of its molecular structure quartz. So as if it is serving a very good need, because if it is any other type of granite, it will contain less than 10%, sometimes 6% or 5%. So 13% is serving high purpose. Also, the design of the shafts and the tunnels inside the pyramid, it indicates that there are paths of movements, or like it's energy movements inside the pyramid.
If you would like to see more from the Gaia original series, Deep Space and Ancient Civilizations, follow the links in the description to watch a full free episode. Or visit our Gaia portal at gaia.com/fifth kind. Thanks, and see you next time.